Just one more reminder that we have VBS coming up in a week, and the VBS t-shirts are available at the Welcome Center for pickup. And so if you've not picked up your shirt, you can get that at the Welcome Center today on your way out. And so sign up for everything else. 1 week, be praying. And we're looking forward to God blessing us with another great week of VBS. This morning I wanted to present regarding our recent trip to Canada, our mission trip to Canada just recently, and share that with you this morning, let you know what's going on up there and what we were able to do while we were there, and just the things that God is doing in Canada. Before I start, I want to mention that one of the neat things about being there is worshiping with them. Now, in Quebec, of course, they speak French. They speak a little English. We speak a really little French. And so there's a language barrier. But to be able to worship with them is really special, partly because Jean has some English songbooks, and of course they have the French songbooks. And there are a few songs that are in both books. So it's the same melody and the same words, but we sing in English and they sing in French. Well, we're there doing that, and at one point it's really a special thing, but at one point it got a little confusing because my wife is on one side singing in French, and of course all the people there are singing in French, and then I have Yvette and Janet on the other side, but some of the songs in French had four verses, and we only had three in our book in English. So we finished the third verse, and they sing another verse. We don't know what to do. Well, I repeated the last verse, which you would logically do. Go ahead and nod your head. Thank you. And so I have Stephanie singing French here, and then Janet and Yvette, they go back to verse one. So I have them singing in English a different verse. I'm singing the right verse. It got a little confusing, but it was still great. So I want to share some pictures with you. Of course, if you have no idea where we were, that is fairly close to where they are in Canada, in Quebec. For those of you who went, if you went last year to Canada, raise your hand real quick. Just kind of get an idea. Raise it up. Don't be. Thank you. Part of what the ladies did last year, and part of what has been done on this building, is reconditioning materials. And so this tin that was at one time on the roof has been reconditioned. Not only is it reconditioned, but the idea is to make it have a weathered look. And so it's part of the design of the building to be a weathered look on purpose. So the ladies, you may remember, I know those who went remember last year painting about three different colors on this material. And so then it was sanded down and you acquire that look. And so I just wanted to show a picture of some of what we did last year that has been placed on the building. Also on the soffits, the material there, we cut a lot of that last year. That was part of what we did, was cut that. And so there we have a picture of what that looks like. And then we worked a lot on the front, that top part, and the red. That was a lot of what was also painted, three different colors. And so it gives you an idea of what happened there. Now, we flew and we drove in a rental car, but Steve, he drove his bike from here. On the way, God shined his face on Steve. He got three drops of rain driving his motorcycle from here to Quebec. On the way home, not so much. So, Steve, you might need to repent of a few things. I don't know what happened when you're up there. But we were really happy to see Steve. Part of what we did, the city is requiring for there to be some reinforcement of some of the beams that support the rest of the building. It's debatable if it's really needed or helpful or what have you, but you jump through the hoops that city governments tell you to in order to do it. So a couple pictures of what we were doing there. You notice Ted stood around a lot. Once in a while, we needed his help, so we'd have him hold up something for a tall guy, if we need a tall guy. I'm joking. If you know Ted, you know he can build anything. And I would say when we were up there, one Ted was worth five Steves and worth 10 Elliots. So we only had, five or six of us there, but we had one Ted. So that counted for a lot. A preacher and secretary can cut sheetrock. I know you were wondering that. And Janet can actually hold up sheetrock. She got her workout while we were there. This is the man on the ladder is Gerard. He's one of the men there. And one thing that was special this year is one day we worked a lot and Gerard was there that we worked alongside him. And another day, one of the fathers and his two sons worked there with us. And so we were able to work kind of alongside some of their members, even though they speak a little English and we speak very little French. But, you know, you work together and it translates. They realize we care that much about what they're doing up there and about the gospel being spread in Canada. And they appreciate it. And we appreciate them and their service and what they're doing there. Part of what we needed to do is put sheetrock on the ceiling of the lower in the auditorium and for fire safety reasons. And additional supports, we cut some pieces of metal that went under the sheetrock for safety precaution for years to come to where electric lines ran, just to ensure safety in the future. This man in the red shirt, he was the father of the two boys that we worked alongside with. And so I wanted to share a few things just about that you may not know about Canada, to kind of let you know. They have biscuits, but they don't have biscuits. These are crackers, and they call them biscuits. So we had biscuits and gravy one morning, but we really had to work at it because they don't have biscuits in Quebec. They don't understand that. They're really missing out. You may not be able to read a lot of French, but they do have chocolate, and that does translate. So on the chocolate aisle, you can find that. If you've ever wanted a bag of milk, they'll sell you a bag of milk there. Good luck pouring that, but they do sell bags of milk. And then you know how we've learned that carbohydrates at some point are kind of bad for you, and white bread, you should avoid white bread. They just go straight to the end result, and they cut through all the talk and just say, pain is here. If you want pain, eat this. That's how that works. Anne has a garden out front of their house, and it's all in their house, and church building's all on the same property. She raises a lot of vegetables. You know, Jean and Anne and their family there are supported by a few different churches, but they... You know, they make ends meet, and more so than most of us for sure. But their garden is a big part of their life. So one thing that we've experienced really every year we've gone, it's an interesting thing because we go and we want to help with what we think they need help with. Now, obviously, they need help on the building, and that's the main focus. But we always have ladies that go, and the ladies and Anne have a special connection. So there's always this little bit of awkwardness of, well, we want to help here, but where do they need help? And part of what we do when we go there, if you think about visiting a missionary and helping them, they're isolated spiritually in a place where the gospel is not spreading rapidly, and they're isolated, and they need encouragement. And the person-to-person relationship is worth so much. If all we did is went and spent time with them, it would be worth it to them, I promise you. And so Anne asked that the ladies help her in her garden, and she was so excited about that. They spent some time doing that. You don't have to know Anne, but you just see on this person's face, she's showing you the seeds of her carrots and how that works. But I still remember when Greg came back from the first year that he and Nick went. And I remember Greg talked about Anne a little bit. But you can't describe this woman. You can't, can you, Steve? No. Steve, he had heard about Anne, and she is so loving, cheerful, hospitable. She has the spirit of a child. It's just hard. She is a wonderful, wonderful person. And she's a real blessing as Jean's wife there to the church there. But that's part of what we did while we were there, and it was a big boost to them. This is during the church service, me preaching, and Jean would translate And then this is not, we couldn't get everyone. It's like trying to herd cats, but we got a picture of their congregation. And this is a picture of us and them. There were 21 of them there on the Sunday that we were there. And 21's not a lot, but the church, when we went the first year, I think there might have been 12. And so all of us really noticed that the group is growing, and we're seeing new faces there. We're seeing younger faces. We're seeing more children. And so it's exciting to see that, because that means the gospel is spreading. There were some members there, John mentioned them when he was here, that, and it was the two boys and their father behind them, that they left early on in the building project because they didn't think it was wise, but they've come back, and they're back 100%. And so it's just great to be there and encourage them and be together. I want to remind us that Jean has lost some of his support. I know you've heard us kind of talk about that. He's lost about 600 a month, and he has gained back about 400 a month. And so he's still 200 under where he was, I'd say, at the start of the year. The Faroes in Belgium have also lost, coincidentally, 600, the same amount. I don't know how much yet they've gained back, but I want to update you on where we are with trying to help with that. And we're in the process of having envelopes in the pews in front of you, so that if you want to help give additional money that would go to our missionaries, you can place that money in that envelope and write who you want it to go to in Canada or Belgium, and that will be our procedure to do that. Until we get envelopes in the pew, if you're wanting to give additional money to help our missionaries, you can get with Tom Sism, hand it to him in an envelope so we can track it. So that's where we are on that. And, you know, when we're there, it's not a third world country. Canada's, of course, developed like we are, but they're not as prosperous as we are here. And every time I'm there, I think, you know, what $20 does for them is significant. You think of us being, Jean is still short 200 a month. If 10 families give an extra $20 a month, that's $5 a week. What's $5 a week? I mean, we blow money. We waste money. This is me thinking just within me about me, and so I know I'm not the only one, but I think, goodness, Elliot, what's $5? And in a month's time, what's $20? And it's something, but I assure you, to them, it is a lot more. And so I want to put that on your hearts to be thinking and praying about. What more could we do as a congregation if we invested more in God's business? If we invested more in His kingdom? And places like this in Canada, I want to share this with you and put it on your minds, partly because I want you to know what you helped with. Every time we go, and every month that we send a check to our missionaries, you're a part of that. It comes from the funds of us as a collective group, and you're a part of it. The group that went this year, there were funds that helped offset their travel expenses, and you were a part of that. And so you may have never been, and you may never be able to go, but that's, as a church family, we work together. And I thank you, and I know the Greniers and the whole church there thanks you deeply. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy 2:4. 1 Timothy 2:4. Just a reminder of what you've been told before regarding the work there in Canada. Every town we go to in Canada, there is at least one enormous Catholic building, church building, and sometimes two or three or four. And so the history of Catholicism is really strong in Quebec, but it is crumbling, might be a word. People are leaving Catholicism en masse. And so buildings are empty. and you have people who have a history of a heart for God and Jesus, but they don't have it directed where it needs to be. And so you think of the, you know, are the fields white for harvest in Quebec? Well, in some respects, yes, because you have people disenchanted with their previous religion, if you want to call it that. It's still a challenge, but there's great hope for the work there in Canada. And we look forward to the future. 1 Timothy 2:4 is, I just wanted to remind us, Scripture says God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God's trying to reach all. God wants to reach people on every continent, every nation, every town. And so we work where we can work, and this is one of the places that we help with. It is a long project. It's been about 10 years that the work there has been taking place on and off. I remember, if you think back to before you first, remember John talking about there was a barn that he thought maybe they could purchase and turn into a church building. It's been a long time. And you may not understand or remember, but in 2012, Greg went. It was the first of our congregation to go. He and Nick went. And at that time, honestly, we were starting to doubt what's going on up there. It just, every year it seems to be a struggle, and you're working on this building, and it doesn't seem like any progress is being made. What's really going on? We're sending money. What's happening? And they came, and Greg came back and was very excited about the work there. So the following year, four of us went in 2013. Last year, 14 of us went. And this year, five of us went. And so 18 total from our congregation have gone. And since Greg went and our group of four went, Sojourners have gone, which some of you know what a retired ministry group, Sojourners, that go to different places and help in their RVs. The group from his sponsoring church went as a result two or three times, and now one of his church sponsoring churches or supporting churches in Ohio has gone this summer. I just say all that to say thank you, Greg, because had he not gone, I don't know that the story would be what it is right now. But when one goes, it gives others courage to go, and this whole thing has steamrolled. And so it's been great. The building started like this when Jean first had a dream to develop it into a church building. And this is what it looks like now. And the part on the front bottom right, including the door, front door, if you haven't seen this picture yet, that's because Steve stayed another week and was able to work with John and work on that. And it may have only taken a few days, but you know, sometimes things you work on have a big impact. It's like when we put the windows in last year. But I hope you're excited about this. I hope you're excited about a door that it has been dreamed would be open to the community there through a building. And part of the reason is, I just remind you, the man and his family that left when they were frustrated about the project that they've come back, the reason they left is, at that time the church was meeting in a rented space in town, and he thought they should continue to do that. The problem in Canada is, if you don't have a building, if you just meet in someone's house or in a little rented area, you look almost like a cult. And so here in America, our history is, you look at every, I can speak for Churches of Christ, find a Church of Christ and you'll find in their history at one time they met in a house. And this church here at one time met in a house here in town. And we actually have two congregations history from this, from our church family here. But we meet in houses and we move on. It doesn't work that way in Canada. I ask you this morning, what if? Turn to Acts 16:1. Acts 16:1. What if Jean had not been a dreamer? What if Greg hadn't gone in 2012? What if this building will open doors and the church will grow in this part of Quebec like never before? Paul, in Acts 16:1, he goes to Derbe and to Lystra, and he finds a young man named Timothy. Timothy was a great man of God for the church. What if one of these on the left, this is the father and the two young men, they helped us one day. John and Ann's son, JP, is on the right. What if one of these young men is the next John the Baptist, or the next Paul, or the next Peter, or the next Timothy? What does the future hold? How do you know what reaching one soul will do for God's kingdom in the future? And I want us to continue to dream about the future in Canada and the gospel spreading there and what God wants to do there and us to be a part of it. The good news is we have a long future ahead of us. There will be opportunities for others to go in the future and help, not only help with physical things they need help with, but go as a fellow Christian and say, we care about you, we're behind you, we're behind you financially, we're behind you physically and relationally, soul to soul, we're behind you, we're with you. So it's exciting, the ball is rolling, there's a lot of momentum, so keep praying. And I wanted to share it with you this morning, and we'll keep working with them and God to reach all that we can reach. This morning we're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you're here and there's something heavy on your heart that you've been concerned about, you'd like us to pray about, we'd want you to come and let us take a couple minutes and pray with you. If there's one here this morning and you're not right with God, there's something you need to do, and maybe it's give your life to Christ and have your sins washed away. If there's something we can help you do, please come while we stand and sing.
The
Speaking the law.